Okay, we have the, you're a doctor? All right, we need to, where are the doctors when we need them? Okay, so in the art scroll, they translate it as the displaced sinew. Okay.
What is a sinew?
I think it's like a, like a ligament or like a, some. Okay. Sinews. Gidim are brought up very often in halacha, is brought up in chumash very often. In any case, so where does this come from? We know that the story with Yaakov, he fought with the malach. The malach is known. The Gemara tells us that the malach that he fought with is Sarai Shel Esav, which we shall not translate now in mixed company, but Sarai Shel Esav is the malach of the nation of Esav. We know Chazal tell us that every nation of the world has a sar. In fact, truth is, Chazal tell us every creation has a sar, has a representative in the upper spheres. Yes. There's a chazal that says every blade of grass doesn't grow. Every day the malach has to come and tell it to grow. But every nation certainly has a sar, and the nation of Klal Yisrael is the one exception. We do not have a malach. We have our sustenance coming directly from Hashem. So here there was a situation which was really not a one-time occurrence. As with everything with the Avos, nothing is a one-time occurrence. It's all Ma'is Avos and Melabonim. It's all historical. It all creates a pattern for the future. Here we had the historical struggle between Yaakov and the Sarai Shel Esav, which is also, Chazal tell us, the Sarai Shel Esav, who Satan, who Yetzahara, who Malach HaMavis, all the same guy. The Yetzahara, the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, and the Satan, all these wrapped in one. We know a Malach does not have more than one Shlichus, more than one mission. Apparently, these are all the same mission. To be the Sar of Esav and to be the Satan and the Malach HaMavis is all the mission of what? Of creating the counterforce to Toiv good, which is, it creates the struggle. Now, don't forget, to let us not forget, the Mepharshim point out that the Malach of Esav, or the Malach HaMavis, the Satan, whatever it may be, the Yetzihara, he is also a Shliach, he's also a messenger of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I always use the analogy to a personal trainer. Personal trainer puts weights on your weights. He puts extra weight there, and the purpose is so you should be stronger. Without a counterweight, you don't grow your muscles. And so he's also a messenger of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but we have to view him as evil and as public enemy number one, as we'll soon see when we discuss this a little more in depth. But as a result of this historical struggle, Yaakov Avinu was touched by the Malach of Esav on his thigh, and that caused a physical displacement of this sinew, and that's why it's called Gid Hanoshe. Literally would mean to be misplaced. And therefore, the Pasuk says, therefore, Al-Kain, and that's the Pasuk mentioned at the top of your source sheets here, Al-Kain la yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es Gid Hanoshe. Therefore, the Jewish people will not eat Gid Hanoshe ad hayom hazeh, ki noga b'kaf yerech Yaakov b'Gid Hanoshe. Because that's precisely where the Malach touched him and caused him trouble. It's part of an animal. In the hind portion of the animal, in the legs of the animal, there is a Gid Hanoshe, which has to be taken out if you eat that portion of the animal. The Ashkenazim, if I'm not mistaken, do not eat that portion of the animal in any case. There are other things that have to be taken out as well, but we are not so well versed in some of them. And so we do the more convenient thing, which is to simply eat only from the front portion of the animal. But the question is, yes, the treber, then there's different things that could be taken out. Oftentimes in smaller animals, it's not even worthwhile to spend the time to remove those things because you have to be meticulous, you have to be knowledgeable, you have to be crafty. In larger animals, it becomes much more worthwhile. But even so, it's not so easy. But the question is like this, just looking at it from a historical perspective, we have this the struggle with Yaakov and the angel of Esav, and that leads to this mitzvah of not eating the gidanosha in animals. So the question is, what's the reason for this? Imagine a person is in a car accident. So from then on, he won't let his child play with toy cars. I mean, what's the analogy here? What's going on? So there are practical responses to this, and then there are more mystical, more profound responses to this. Okay, so we'll see the Radak. See the Radak. The Radak says, it's the first source here. The Radak says that B'nai Yaakov Asruhu Alatzman. The Jewish people accepted it upon themselves. Which is interesting because it shows up here far before Matan Torah. Some of the Mefarshim say Al Kain means therefore Lo Yochel B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people will be in the future commanded at Har Sinai not to eat this. But the Radak seems to be saying that the sons of Yaakov accepted this upon themselves not to eat this, lechvod avihem, as a show of honor to their father, shelokabo. Now, one of the things I forgot, which is a very important component for the historical perspective and the more profound explanations, is the fact that eventually Yaakov was healed. Yes, later on, he came Shalem Ir Shechem. He came, the son healed him, and he came complete to Shechem. So eventually he was healed. But since, as the Radak says, at one point their father was smitten by this malach in this way, so they refused to eat it. Haim, v'tzivu l'vneim u'bneim l'vneim, each generation, the next generation, until today, like he quotes a source in Malachim, Yehinoda ben Rechav, he commanded his children not to drink wine. So this is a show of respect, a show of honor to their father.
So this is not one of the, is this one of the 613 mitzvahs?
Yes, yes, yes. So if we're discussing it here, it's listed as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Yes. Okay. But, you know, how it developed, according to the Radak, from something that the Bnei Yaakov accepted upon themselves to the point where when it came to Har Sinai, now it's included in the Torah. I'm not so sure exactly. That's why just from a practical perspective, it makes more, it not makes more sense, but it's more understandable that the Torah's narrative here is that eventually, due to this, eventually, okay. And if you skip two sources there, the Bechor Shor, says a very similar thing. It's as Ikarain Kaved Agdula. It's a remembrance of honor. Okay. The Rashbam in source number two, the Rashbam says Lizichrein Gvura Sishal Yaakov. This is a remembrance of the Gvura. So we're not commemorating the fact that he was maimed, but rather we're commemorating the positive aspect, which is the gvura, the might of Yaakov, that he was able to struggle with the malach, and he couldn't get him down. The malach couldn't overcome him. So that's what he says. L'zichrei gvurasa shel Yaakov v'neis she'asalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The miracle, Shalei Meis, that he didn't die from this struggle. So this is more on a positive nature. The first explanation was it was to commemorate, not commemorate, but to show respect to Yaakov because he was maimed by this. Therefore, if you skip all the way down to the bottom of this first column in the Chizkuni, two lines up, it says there, Mashal Adam Shechash Berosho. It's an example of a person who has a headache, by Be'echa Me'evarav, or one of his limbs. Shemekabel Olav Shaloi Lechol Me'ezei Ever Me'elam. He accepts upon himself. So this is a very practical explanation. That a person, let's say, has his arm is hurting him and causes him a lot of trouble, so he accepts upon himself, or his liver, he's got trouble with his liver, so he accepts upon himself he's never going to eat liver again, because it's a person has an ailment in a particular limb, he abstains from that limb forever. Seems to be somewhat of a more superficial, you know, practical kind of explanation. Okay. As we go along, we'll see the explanations become more and more profound. Let's see the Rajba. Okay. The Rajba, which is the fourth source here, or actually the fifth down, if you count the Pusuk. We'll count just the Mefarshim on the Pusuk. So the fourth one is the Rajba, and he says, V'hu shenosan lahem yizbarach mitzvah zu b'kaf ha-yarech. The Rebbe Hashem gave it to us in the thigh area, lahogein al yoytzei yarech, in order that should be a protection on those that are yoytzei yarech. We find this expression in the Torah. The descendants of a person are referred to in a subtle way as yoytzei yarech, those that emerge from the person's thigh. Now. No, because that's with a ches. But the question is, how is this going to be a protection for the descendants? So he says like this, Shetzivahu yizbarach v'kimuhem. The fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom commanded us not to eat this portion of the body, that will be a protection for the descendants of Yaakov. Meaning to say, this seems to be also as a little deeper in the fact that it's a mitzvah that is directed towards the descendants of Yaakov. But where do we find such a thing? We say it in the Haggadah. It says, "Erech misbeiseses b'damayech, v'aymar lach b'damayech hayi, v'damayech hayi." We said this yesterday at the bris of Elimelech Simcha Bauer, whose bris took place yesterday, David's grandson, and took place here at the Kollel. We said these words. Because what is that referring to? Chazal say that in the times of Mitzrayim, we were v'at eroim v'eria. We were naked from mitzvahs. We were bare of mitzvahs. We didn't have mitzvahs. So what did the Rebbeinu Shlom do? He gave us dam Pesach and dam Mila. We had no mitzvahs. So what did we do? We did the Mila, which was we discussed at great length the significance of mitzvahs Mila, and then we did the Pesach. And the fulfillment of those mitzvahs gave us the merit to be able to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. Now, it turns out that this mitzvah is there, according to the Rajba, this mitzvah is there solely to provide us merit and to provide merit to the children of Yaakov. So why then did it have to be in the thigh? That's what the struggle was. So presumably.
So after what you're saying before, though, so what comes out of the process, so there has to be the thigh, because the other generations that will be a significant.
Right. So you see here, we're going a little deeper. Meaning, the first couple explanations were very somewhat more superficial, which is a kavod, or it's either because of honor to Yaakov, or because we want to distance ourselves from things that remind us of negative experiences. Right here we're saying, no, we're getting a little deeper. We're saying, no, this is related to the descendants of Yaakov, and that's why it's the Yerech. And that will be a merit, just like the merit of the two mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. Yes? That was for the purpose of holding on to a Dvar Mitzvah. Simna Yodcha Tachas Yerechi, yes. Yes, yes. But there, in both cases, it's a more of a more subtle way of referring to things that are more sensitive in nature. Yes? Okay. But the Rajba is clinging to the concept of Yerech representing descendants. Now let's see the Chinuch, which is of tremendous historical significance. It gives us perspective on much of the patterns that we see happening through history, and it also gives us tremendous inspiration and consolation in our daily struggles. We spoke about in the past the purpose of us being in this world being to struggle with the Yetzer Hara. That's our mission here in this world. Yes. So we'll see here that this is very much related. Says the Chinuch, Mishurashe Mitzvah Zu, from the root of this mitzvah, which means some of the reason behind it, Kideisha Tia Remez Li Yisrael, by not eating this mitzvah is a remez, it's a hint to Yisrael, meaning if we have this constant reminder not to eat and not to partake of this component of the animal, it'll give us a constant reminder of the following, Sha'af Al Pi Sheyizbelu Tzareis Rabbis, even though we will be seivel, we will bear many tzareis, many difficulties and challenges, bigoluyos, in the exiles, miyado amim, from the nations, umiyad b'nei Esav, and in particular from the descendants of Esav, shiyu betuchim shlo yavdu, we shall be confident that we will not be entirely destroyed. Ela lo'olam yamid zarom ushmam, forever our name and our children will remain. And of course, we know we also have a havtacha, we have a guarantee from Hashem that the Torah will never cease to be part of the Jewish people, to be the heart and soul of the Jewish people. Now, you know, often there's talk about different countries getting the hydrogen bomb, the atom bomb, weapons of mass destruction, etc., one drop of a bomb and then the whole Israel will disappear. And those are very nice threats on the part of those countries. But two things. First of all, we have a Havtacha from Hashem. The Jewish people will never cease to exist. We also have a Havtacha from Hashem that the Torah will never cease to exist amongst the Jewish people. And in last week's Haftorah, the Navi says, Ubahar Tzion Tia Pleita. On Har Tzion, there will be Pleita, there will be salvation. So we know that in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael itself, there will be salvation. So if we say, well, half of the world's Jews are in Israel, maybe a little more now, we have a good guardian up there protecting us. Let's not forget that. Yes, to judge them, yes. Eventually they'll get what they deserve. In fact, last week we said a beautiful pasuk at the end of the Haftorah, which was very consoling. Let's I'll just read it just because or was it 2 weeks ago that it says Bahar Tzion Tia Pleita? I don't see the... I mean, that's what you're referring to, right? Yeah, I was referring to a different pasuk, and I forget which one. But in any case, that eventually the Rebbe Shem will take revenge. Yeah, and here it says, "Bahar Tzion Tia Pleita Vahaya Kodesh," will be holy. So, there's a lot to be consoled by. But here, what he's saying is a very, very interesting thing. He's saying that the mitzvah of Gid HaNasher provides us with tremendous inspiration, that we will undergo tremendous burdens and difficulties, challenges from the children of Esav, but we will be betuchim, we should be confident that we will not be lost. Unfortunately, people will die, people will have other problems, people might get hurt, chas v'shalim, but the nation as a whole will survive. Forever, our children will remain, and their name will remain. And the Redeemer will come, and he will redeem us from our enemies. And in our remembering, constantly, of this idea, through this mitzvah, that will be a reminder for us. Yamdu b'munasam u'b'tzidkasam la'ilam. By holding steadfast to this mitzvah, we will be able to remain steadfast in our emunah, in our trust of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and in our piety. V'remezehu, and this is hinted to us, in what way, by this mitzvah? V'fisha oisei malach she'nilcham im Yaakov Avinu, that malach that struggled with Yaakov Avinu, sheba b'kabbalah, we know Aide Kabbalah Shahiya Sare Shal Esav. He was, as we mentioned earlier, he was the Malach of Esav. Ratzal Akrei LeYaakov Min HaElam. He wanted to uproot Yaakov from the world. Hu Vizarei VaYachalei. He wasn't able to. Betziarei BeNegiyas HaYarech. And he pained him by way of touching him in the thigh. V'chein Zera Esav. Now this creates a pattern for the future, that the children of Esav also will be Mitzar Lazer Yaakov, to the children of Yaakov. But Ulu B'Saif, this is the great consolation in the end, Tia Lohem Yeshua Mehem, they will have a redemption, Kimoishim Atzinu Ba'av, just like we find by the Father, Shazar Chalei HaShemesh, the Rebbe Shalom shown the son for him, L'Rufu Asai, B'Noisha Min Atzar, and he was saved from the Tzar. Cain, listen to these beautiful words. Kain Yizrach Lanu Hashem, so too the sun should shine for us. Shal Mashiach V'Yirpa'enu, it will heal us. Mitzarenu, from our pains. V'Yigalenu, will redeem us. Amen, B'mehir V'Yamein.
Wow, that's beautiful.
That's a beautiful, beautiful idea. Basically, what he's saying is that this struggle was no simple struggle. This was this was setting the stage for all the future struggles in the world. And the struggles will be primarily between Yaakov and Esav, as we see till this very day. But one should never lose hope and never lose sight, because look at Yaakov Avinu. Look at Yaakov Avinu. Now, the next time we meet, I'm going to quote one more source and then we'll stop, but the next time we meet, we'll discuss the significance of this, that the way in which the blemish came about, and why specifically on the thigh, is also of historical significance and has tremendous significance, and we should study that in order to understand it better. Bez Hashem, we'll meet tomorrow. I just want to quote one last source, and that's the bottom. So again, as we saw, we were progressing deeper and deeper into the significance of this mitzvah. Here this is somewhat of a tangential sort of explanation to this mitzvah, not necessarily related to the future of the Jewish people, but it's interesting nonetheless. The Chizkuni says like this, and the truth is it's not just a Chizkuni, it's the Balei HaTosfos say this, that he says like this, Kalaymar, Bedin hu sheyesh liknois v'lanois b'nei Yisrael. This is the last source on the first column. It is appropriate that the Jewish people should be Liknais should have this sort of fine, this sort of einish, this sort of punishment to Bnei Yisrael from eating the Giranoshe. Shehinichu aviem haylech yachid. They allowed their father to go alone. Kidichsiv vayivaser Yaakov avada. Yaakov remained alone. He went back, as the Chazal tell us, he went back to get pachim gdanim, small jugs. And they allowed him to go back himself. They were warriors. They were great, mighty people. And it was incumbent upon them, lahamtin avien l'sayay imitztarech, that they should wait for him, and they should accompany him and protect him, help him out if it was necessary. They didn't do for him levaya, which is accompaniment. And because of that, because of their being lax in their escorting their father, he was hurt by that. So therefore, from then on, it will be a reminder. They'll jump at the opportunity. They'll do this mitzvah with alacrity to accompany. Ulakach liva Yaakov is Yosef, and that's why Yaakov escorted Yosef. Now this is the Chizkuni is really brought down in the Daz Zaken and Bali HaTesis. Right. So if you look in the Daz Zaken and Bali HaTesis, it says that when Yaakov sent Yosef, his son, to go to his brothers, he insisted that he be escorted. Now, I'm assuming that this, first of all, when does this first year end? 45 minutes or a half hour?
It should be over 10 o'clock usually.
10 o'clock. All right, so I'm over my time now. But I'm assuming that this idea is not simply, a one-time thing, they didn't escort him, but this concept of one Jew protecting, backing up the other, is something much more profound than simply a one-time occurrence, but the Jewish people are being taught here that we are responsible one for another, and that when one has a weakness, we should make sure to be there for them to strengthen them, to back them up, and that is something that the Jewish people need a reminder of. So we were reminded of it by this mitzvah, which is to remember that occurrence then when we fail to do so, and because of that Yaakov got hurt. We have to remember that if somebody does get hurt by way of us not backing them up, it's our responsibility. And we could call attention to the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, where where a person dies and the Chachamim, the Zakenim of the cities that are closest should say, We didn't spill this blood. What does it mean they didn't spill this blood? And what does Rashi say? That we didn't escort him. We didn't, right? Levaya, exactly that. And that's all because it's been established from the third mitzvah in the Torah already that Jewish people are responsible one for another, especially when they're vulnerable. We have a responsibility to escort them, so to speak, literally and. And so forever, the Jewish people are reminded to do so. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll meet tomorrow.